This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
All right. What is the message in the hairstyle? I guess, you know, in today's world, we know that when a woman cuts her hair, she's telling you something. Whether wittingly or unwittingly, you know, consciously or subconsciously, somebody is ready for a change, a new era. Cuts the hair, out with the old, in with the new, you know? And it might not be as drastic as cutting the hair. It might be coloring your hair and sort of saying, you know what? I'm ready to just spruce up my life. But the hair, a crown, is somebody's fundamental accessory of saying how they feel. But this isn't a new phenomenon. Back in the 15th century, certainly when the transatlantic slave trade began, slaves and their descendants started to use cornrows of hair to track a route. So by looking at somebody's cornrows, you could tell what the escape route was. And so there is a lot of messaging in the hair, historical, ethnographic, detailed messaging in the hair. And so today we want to talk about that, whether the statement is one that says I'm looking for my freedom, as people were looking at cane rows as a way of escape, whether the statement is a statement on hierarchy and station, because we know that in traditional African societies, you know, the elders wore their hair in a particular way, the royal families wore their hair in a particular way, the aristocracy wore their hair in a particular way, but there's always a messaging in the hair. And whether we bring it into today's context, which is I'm cutting my hair because I'm newly single and I'm ready to mingle, whatever it is, what is the message in the hair? And what's prompted this? Well, if you've ever seen a picture of Team Power Talk, you'll know that the women on the team love to experiment with our hair. Okay, so me, I will veer towards straight hair, short hair. And then this week, I just suddenly decided, because you know, I just need peace in my life. And then I went to the hairdresser and I said, "Neaten up la mapondo." And she then did a traditional hairstyle known as Betty and Benny or Betty and Dora. We all know it, okay? Why is it called Betty and Dora? I don't know. But it's elicited a lot of conversation. Well, people are saying, what's going on with you? This is so cute. Are you nostalgic about your youth? Or are you actually making a statement about the working classes? No, I just needed to not worry about my hair for a while. But the hairstyle even has a name, Betty and Dora. Nondu loves her Afro-chic, Afro-regal hairstyles, whether she's wearing locks or she's braiding with Cora beads in her hair. She does this. So for her, it's channeling a traditional Afro-ethnicity aesthetic that she loves. The ancient queens of Kush, of Timbuktu, of the Fula, is an aesthetic that Nondu likes. And so on and so forth, as they will say. So what is the message in the hair? We've seen many men growing their hair. There was a time where most African men just wore their hair in a brush cut or a chiskop. And suddenly, prominent advocates like Mokai Thobi have grown their hair, right? And the hair is part of an extension of his Pan-Africanist views, which he has properly expressed in several books that he's written. You know, and somebody was commenting about the hairstyle of the vice chancellor of the University of the Witwatersrand. the renowned scientist Dr. Zeblon Vilakazi, is that the hair is a statement in science as well. So even African men are starting to use the hair as a statement. What are these messages? We're joined by Nombulelo Shange, sociology lecturer at UFS. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And we also have Ntombenhle Katwana, who is the founder of Afrobotanics. Good morning, Ntombenhle.
Good morning, my queen. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Nombulelo, let's start with you. What is the message in the hair? And how many messages have been spoken, as it were, through African hairstyles?
Sure. You already touched on a lot of it. So hair, black hair or African hair, has a very long, sometimes revolutionary, sometimes oppressive, political history. As you even rightfully mentioned, discussions around slavery, for instance. You mentioned how enslaved women were able to use their hair as an emancipatory tool, marking roots out of plantations. But often what is also not known about the sort of early capturing of enslaved people is that one of the first things that would be erased, especially in women, but arguably all enslaved people, was the hair. And that's precisely because of, as you mentioned, the nonverbal communication that hair is able to portray to those around us. We know, even culturally, for instance, when someone has gone through a loss, that they cut their hair, and there's often other cultural symbolism that they also wear. So that communicates something to society about how to treat this person, how to be around this person, and to acknowledge the pain that this person is going through. So arguably during this transatlantic slave trade, hair had the possibility or the capability of collecting and gathering the enslaved people together in the way that they would be able to communicate non-verbally that either they are allies or they are from cultural groups that are similar or the same. So hair, cultural regalia, any kind of marks like scarification or baba were often the first things to be erased when people were captured. And, and we know in South Africa, later on, hair also became a political tool for determining race and therefore inferiority, right, with things like the pencil test. But there's also emancipatory stories. There's also moments where hair has actually played quite a significant role in terms of reimagining our identity. As you say, there's the new styles that are coming up. Unfortunately, sometimes they come up as an emergence of, we've seen something in the runway culturally appropriated by some kind of Western gaze, and we're reminded that, oh, this actually used to belong to us, and this is actually quite beautiful. And in many instances, it's only then that we start embracing our hair and some of the lost styles and all of that. We don't wear them in the same ways as historically, because historically there were certain styles that were designated for young girls, for older women, if you married, and all sorts of different social categories. And nowadays we use them a lot more flexibly.
You've said so many interesting things, and I'm reading up here. Okay, so as I said, Nombulelo, this is not about whether people embrace natural hair care or not. This is just, I love the term you use, non-verbal communication through the hair. You don't say anything, but the hair, once somebody comes with a particular hairstyle, they've spoken an entire monologue with that hair. And I'm thinking here in the 1920s, we've spoken about the evolution of braids and also cornrows, which the design of the cornrows often was an escape map to say, this is the path you must follow to your freedom. Go straight, go around the maze, go that way, or go, that's why they are elaborate hairstyles, these cornrows, because historically they were the actual map people were looking at for the escape. But by the 1920s, long after slavery was abolished, Marcus Garvey, who is that Afro-Black nationalist from Jamaica who founded the Negritude movement, he said to people, remove the kink from your mind, not from your hair, because people were now starting to straighten their hair as a form of social mobility. So the straighter your hair, the more the more your aspiration to rise into a new social class. So even straight hair is a statement in itself. And as you said, apartheid comes from the pencil test. You know, my goodness, where you just look at people, you don't know anything about their bloodline, but by putting a pencil through their hair, you can tell whether they're black, colored, Indian, closer to white, because of the kink. Elaborate more. And that's the politicization of hair, isn't it?
Of the hair, yeah. I think the discussion on straightening hair is one that's very difficult to navigate, because arguably, historically, there's very different illustrations on Africans straightening their hair in different ways, not just as a response to the colonial oppression or adding some form of extensions to their hair. One example, for instance, is the Himba tribe in northern Namibia. Yes, where they often had some kind of extension to their hair. Those styles are also coming back into fashion currently, like with the poof at the end and some kind of extension. Sometimes mud was used and all sorts of different things. So my sociological view is that having extensions, straightening hair is not necessarily a bad or a negative thing. But of course, we have to think about its historical contextualization of oppressing Black women. And so we have to interrogate within ourselves, particularly as Black women, when I opt for a weave or when I opt to relax my hair, am I doing it because I truly love it and it's what I want to express of myself right now? Or am I doing it because I live in a society that hates what I look like naturally? And so if that's the latter is the case, then there's deeper psychological, social, in the individual as well as in the collective conversations that have to be had about Black women and Black hair. But I frequently myself go from an afro to a long blonde wig. It's just fun as well. So, and it's protective as well. So to have your cornrows underneath and to wear a wig, especially in the winter, is a protective hairstyle. It has no deeper social meaning in that context.
Don Bentley, let's bring you into the conversation, because you're the founder of Afro Botanics, and you run a business that helps women explore the diversity of looks and aesthetic options available to them using their hair. So this is not a conversation about whether women straighten their hair or not, but it is about the message in the hair, the nonverbal communication. So it can come through straightened hair, it can come through braided hair, it can come through locked hair, it can come through short hair, it can come through colored hair that's been colored and dyed. But what are people saying with their hair?
Thank you for for me, very deep. Even though I started off wanting also to be able to express myself using my hair, I have journeyed very deep into understanding the history of hair. Hair are what we call your spiritual threads. They bring out your innate identity. They bring out your wisdom, and that's why they also carry the threads of your DNA. So in as much as we want to say that hair is accessory, it's something you can do anything with, in truth, it's actually expressing a subconscious, whatever the subconscious thing you're going through, you may not be fully aware of it, because we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. So for example, you gave an example of one of your colleagues, beads in your head. Beads, originally, we used to use clay beads, and then we moved on to glass beads, because beads are known to call on your ancestors. When you put beads in your hair, you're like, ancestors, I need your help. And the more beads you put in your hair, the more ancestors you're calling out to. Subconsciously, you may not be aware of this. But if you study your life, you'll see now that you have an influence of other beings or thoughts that you were not aware of. So hair is just like anything that you put on your head anyway. Because your head, if you look at your, if you look at the structure of your head, like even in a Catholic sense, the priests adorn themselves in a particular way because the head is known to be the closest thing to God, to your spirit. So
they wear those hats with the little pom-pom, the traditional Catholics.
And the symbols on those hats, by the way, mean a lot. They transfer a lot. And back in the day, like centuries ago, a doctor would wear certain symbols because he wanted the right kind of enlightenment and the right kind of conviction for the kind of work that he's doing. So hair, it says a lot. Like the color you decide to color your hair in, you might decide that, hey, I want to be red because I want to be fiery. But red does symbolize the beginning of a journey. And purple, for example, or violet type color, symbolizes that you're at end of a particular journey or pattern in your life. So a lot of the times we are not aware of it, but hair is talking, the style we choose talk to what's going on in our lives. Like if you are wearing a wig, you might want to be masking a particular aspect of yourself for a particular time in your life. So there's so many things, and it's different for each person. So I can't say just because someone is wearing a wig, that person is masking something, or that person is doing that. It's a very individual journey, but we also do tap into collective consciousness shift. And that's why, for example, you're seeing the shift where African men are wearing their hair long again, or you're seeing African women wear their hair natural. But hair is not just on the physical, sociological display only. It's about the conscious and conscious connections that we have.
Okay, and as you said, you know, hair is very spiritual, because at the top of your head, at your crown, it's the closest to heaven. With the beads in it, it's the connection to the ancestors, and it's the stuff that happens subconsciously that we need to pay attention to. What about the naming of hairstyles, Ntombenhle? I just described that this week I just went and, you know, plaited my hair in the way in which every single little girl under the age of 10 probably has had her hair plaited in two rows, in what we call, you know, a woolen hairstyle, where you just kind of coil the hair in wool, then you connect it to the next one and the next one and the next one, and in the end it's just, it looks like you've got a tartan on your head, and it's got a name, Betty and Dora. And I've always assumed, is it Betty and Dora because it would be the hairstyle of most of the domestic workers? I'm not sure.
Yes, that name in particular is about infantilizing and keeping the black woman infantilized in society, and that's why it speaks to the time. But I mean, it wasn't a new hairstyle. It's styles that were done way before that. I mean, we could go back to the time of Kemet, for example, to look at how Africans did their hair. But when you look at that particular hairstyle and what we called it was because women at that time, you know, they could never become full beings and full adults and full participants in society and express themselves the way they wanted to. Okay. And another thing, you know, Lerato, that we need to be aware of, for example, you look at how we have a high rise of cancers now, especially in women, especially black women. We like to use the plastic hair extensions. We like to use the chemicals. We like to use the plastic beads. Plastic is such a toxic thing to our bodies. Once you put plastic hair extensions, I mean, I even stopped using them on my children, because once you put plastic hair extensions, it goes into your scalp, into your body, and starts messing with your estrogen.
Wow.
And that kind of messing with our system eventually, decades later, results in the kind of cervical cancers that we are seeing.
Right.
Hair also, that's why the Himba use clay. Clay is, it talks to Mother Nature. It comes from the womb of the nature. And so if you use clay, you're saying, Mother Nature, I want to come back to you. I want to come home. I want to be closer to you. So that would be a better way of interacting with your hair, for example.
I've read up on, but they're saying it's inconclusive, the links being drawn between relaxing hair, so no lie relaxes, and the prevalence of cervical cancer and those kinds of cancers in the long term. Is that obviously you're putting the chemical on your scalp, which is skin with open pores, and over time those traces of chemicals start to seep into your system and can cause cancer. And that's what you're referring to, Ndombenhle. But what I've been told is that's not conclusive, but it's research that's currently underway.
For me, I know conclusively, and hopefully it will come out in research,
yeah.
things like Vaseline, petroleum jelly,
yeah.
Those are the same chemical makeup as plastics.
Wow.
Those are the things that are going into our bodies as Black people from young. And, you know, the body is such a beautiful machine.
Mm-hmm.
It does try to process these things out of our system, but we're putting so much plastic and chemicals into our body that eventually it can't. And that's mm-hmm. why eventually it manifests as cancer.
Sure.
I have no doubt in the next 5 to 10 years, we will see conclusive research. We are seeing research now that shows how much plastics even babies have in mm-hmm. their system.
Okay.
So we will see in the next 5 to 10 years conclusive evidence that the use of chemicals, the use of petroleum jelly, the
yeah.
use of plastic extensions is detrimental to our health
sure.
in the long term. And if you look at the prevalence of cancer and the kind of cancers, because both PET jelly and plastics and chemicals are things that are not even a century old,
okay.
right?
Yeah, okay.
And that's why you're seeing such a rise and high deaths, especially
In this generation. Okay, I'm just yeah. rushing here now in the name interest of time. Khomotso says, Lerato, one thing I learned in life, especially as I'm on an autism journey with my children, is that at times the combo of direction of how your hair grows can be an indicator of autism itself. So in other words, the Ndombenhle, very quickly, the grain, which
yes.
which way your hair grows, this way
yeah.
or that way, how they cut it, can also
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
indicate autism.
Yeah.
And then she says, she adds and she says, you know, just depending on what I'm going through, sometimes I just feel I need to free myself from all the things that overwhelm me. And that's when I
yeah.
just snip it off because
yeah.
there's just too much I'm managing as a parent.
Okay.
Nombulela,
yeah.
I want to bring you back into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about hair, but sometimes it's not hair. That's the statement. Idugu, or the head wrap, used across the African continent as another expression on the head.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the dog, just like the hair, also has a very contentious history in the sense that it was also one of the ways that was used to force African women to limit those sorts of nonverbal communications we spoke about earlier to each other and to other groups around them. But also at the same time, the modern day evolution of idugu or different forms of head wraps are also illustrations of some of the hairstyles that used to exist. For instance, the Zulu inkehle, that wide hat that married women usually
mm-hmm.
Wear. Historically, that hat was essentially yeah. made up of straightened hair in some ways that was put into that shape. But because maybe for some of the reasons that Ndombenhle illustrated earlier, our mm-hmm. hair isn't as natural, it isn't as strong, we've added a lot of toxins and chemicals to it. It might not grow as long as it used to before, or there's just not enough time for some of these processes.
Yeah.
So we use material and different ways of like shaping and manipulating the material in various
wow.
look forms to kind of emulate that traditional
yeah.
hairstyle that a married woman used to have.
Oh, wow.
So these things, it's I always say it's not so much the object, be it hair or be it idugu itself, it's more the intention behind it. So
okay.
if dukes are being imposed on Black women because of respectability politics, or you must hide yourself and, you know, some of the infantilizing things, then of course it's problematic and
okay.
we must challenge it. But it also can be very emancipatory when it's done the right way.
Okay, so the hair, the style, the head wrap, it depicts anything from social status to political resistance to identity to social mobility to an awakening. Even in 1936, when Haile Selassie in Ethiopia was forced into exile, the resistance movement inside of Ethiopia, the guerrillas vowed that the guerrilla warriors at least, they vowed that they would not cut their hair until Selassie was released. And so that took many years before Selassie was released and came back from exile. They had not cut their hair. They simply matted it, and that's what formed locks. And so also part of the lock movement is a resistance movement against colonization. Ntombenhle, very briefly, top hairstyles that young women are going for today because they wanted to speak something.
It's the cornrows, like you mentioned, also, of course, natural hair, but also the wigs, because women want to be flexible and change it up anytime they want. But I think the thing that's in is people understanding hair and keeping their hair natural and their scalps natural, because, I mean, healthy, because that's where good hair begins, with the healthy scalp.
Ladies, thank you so much for your time. I think we could just exhaust the subject over an entire hour, but let's keep going at it in short bursts and learn a little bit about heritage, statements, and not anything is accidental. Everything is deliberate, even the hair. Nombulelo Shange, sociology lecturer at the University of the Free State, joined by Ntombenhle Katwane, founder of Afro Botanics. It's the Wednesday edition of Power Talk. In a short while, Power Lunch, news time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.